Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. I have a cell phone, but because I live in a dead zone, not many people know that I have one. But what not having a cell phone has enabled me to do is to be a more objective observer of those who drive and use them. I'm not going to be one of those people who say that no one is capable of both driving and talking on the phone. On the other hand, I'm not one of those people who's going to say that everyone is either. From what I can tell, who can drive and talk at the same time is a function of two things. One is how good a driver they are in the first place. People who are lousy drivers aren't going to be improved by being distracted by a conversation on the phone or staring at a GPS. To me, that's hardly rocket science. Of the remainder, there are two types. Have you noticed how once you master a particular skill, it goes into some part of your brain where you can just completely forget about it? When we were little kids, it was a struggle to learn how to walk. Now, unless we happen to break a leg or have bum joints or something else, we don't even think about walking. It's just something we do. And the same thing is true with driving. When we first got our learner's permit, everything about driving required a lot of conscious thought. And then one day, it all clicked. We got it. And we could tuck it in a different part of our brain and just do it. When we're driving in areas that are in that part of our brains where we know every curve of the road, we know where to look out, then we could probably talk on the phone and still be capable drivers. What interests me about these studies is that the people who do them, and most likely by virtue of the use of the word consciousness in there, in the subconscious mind, automatically assume that this is a strictly human behavior. I personally don't believe that's true. I think that relative to learning and getting something so that it does not have to stay in the conscious mind is what I think of as internalization in an animal. It's when they get the behavior and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to give commands anymore. You don't have to give rewards. And certainly because they've internalized the behavior, the concept of punishment doesn't come up, does it? And so these are the animals that when you get out of the car, they stay. When you're going to work, they don't behave the way they do when you're going to go to the dump and take them along with you. But for those who don't believe that animals are capable of consciousness, cognition, such thought processes can't happen. But for those of us who don't put those kinds of restrictions on our own thought processes, that the same thing can happen in animals as happens in us isn't such a big deal. Do animals delude themselves? Oh, I'm sure they do. That's how they get themselves into trouble, the same way we get ourselves into trouble. But sometimes, in an attempt to delude ourselves, we get them into trouble. We project our delusions on our animals, the same way we project our delusions on the world around us. That's just the way our brains work. It's not a question of being right or wrong. It's more a question of what is, and being mindful that just because it feels so right, so normal for us, doesn't necessarily mean it's so. And just because we think it should feel so right and normal for our animals, doesn't necessarily make it so for them either.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmalani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.